Amen. Let's turn to the book of Ruth. Last week we began with this, the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, just a quick review of it here, what we saw in Ruth chapter 1. And verse 1, Ruth 1, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." And we stopped right there, okay? What was it like when the judges ruled? Well, it was a corrupt day. If you back up there to the previous book, Judges 21, 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes." So Judges 21, 25. So it's kind of like that today in many ways. People just doing what's right in their own eyes. So back in Ruth 1, verse 1, so it says, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." And as we saw last week, God often in the Old Testament would get his people's attention through famine, through weather. And here is one area where today we just see all around it, we are failing so much to allow God to get our attention. You know, we blame a certain weather pattern on El Nino. We blame some other hurricane or something on global warming or climate change. And we are failing to grasp that God is trying to get our attention. Notice, hold your place here if you would, and turn to me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. That is a common problem of man, just to look for earthly answers to spiritual needs, and we need to look in God's Word. 2 Chronicles 7, let's begin in verse 13. The Bible says, "If I shut up heaven, that there be what? No rain. Or if I command the locust to devour the land." Well, I just heard, was it yesterday? I don't know if Oregon, I think they said something like, is it 10 square miles is on fire right now in Oregon, I think. And California has a continual drought, it seems like. But it doesn't seem to wake us up. But God says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." I know people are interested in where this coronavirus started. I mean, obviously it started in China, but they want to know, well, did it start in the wet market or did it start in the lab? You know, is it a man-made disease or what is it? Well, I don't know. I can surmise some things, but I have no proof. But I do know that God says he will send a pestilence among his people. And what to do about it? Verse 14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall what?" So number one, we need to humble ourselves. And what? Pray. So that's number two. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. And then what's the third thing? And seek my face. So, you know, it's just so easy, isn't it, to kind of get into a rut. You know, it's kind of like, well, get up, have to go to work, grab something, eat it on the way, say some quick praying on the way to work, grab this, grab that. But God wants us to pray. God wants us to be in his word. But it says, seek my face. And, you know, when we seek God's face, it really needs to be a time where we take time. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to go through a routine and like, okay, well, you know, I've got to be at work a certain time, or I've got to do this at a certain time. And it just, we've got so many things on our minds that with all of us. You know, well, I've got to get my Bible reading done, but I couldn't tell you how many times through the years when I'm reading my Bible, and then suddenly I find myself, I just read a half of a chapter, and my mind was totally on what I have to do when I'm done reading. And so back up, okay, read it again. So we need to seek God's face. That that takes some undistracted time. And then it says, and what? Turn from their wicked ways. So we need true repentance. And it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what?
Heal their land.
Heal their land. We are in a big mess in our land, and it's only God that can help us right now. So back in Ruth chapter 1 there again. So this lets us know what's going on. Ruth 1:1, it's when in the days when the judges ruled, that's when everyone was doing that which is right in their own eyes. There was a famine in the land. God was trying to wake up his people. And then we're introduced to this family in verse 1. There's this certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. He went to sojourn in the country of Moab. The word sojourn means a temporary stay. He never planned on staying there. But we're given his name in the next verse. His name is Elimelech. Elimelech never planned on staying in Moab, but that's where he died. He never left. So we need to think about that. Where are we? Are we just planning on doing something just temporarily? You know what? We might leave our family there. We don't know when we're going to die. Would we really want to leave our family there? Well, that's what happened in verse 3. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Well, he left his family there. And in verse 4, they, his sons, took them wives of the women of who?
Moab.
So he was only going to stay temporarily because there was a lack of bread in his country, Bethlehem, Judah. And so he goes down to Moab, only going to stay there temporarily. Well, he dies. He leaves his wife. He leaves his two sons behind. Now they marry two girls down there, unsaved girls. And verse 4, they dwelled there about 10 years, and the girls' names was Orpah and Ruth. But then verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So he made a decision to go down there, and it was only going to be temporary. But notice, hold your place here if you would, and let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's dangerous to just think, well, I'm just going to temporarily go down into the world here because it's a little easier right at the point to live. You know, famine in my land. No, I wouldn't want to stay there, but I'll just go there temporarily. Well, he died. But James 4 and verse 14. Let's go to verse 13. James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye what?
Know not
what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even what?
Vapor.
And that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if what? The Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So before we just take off and think, well, I'm just gonna do something temporarily. I know the Lord wouldn't want me to continue here, to stay here, or to do this too, maybe not at all, but we're thinking, well, just a short time, be okay. But he dies there. He leaves his wife then, a widow, his children fatherless, now his boys being down there married to unsaved girls. And so verse 6, back in Ruth 1 and verse 6, now Naomi decides, hey, I'm going home. I've had enough of this. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that, who? The Lord had visited his people in giving them what?
Bread.
So she hears down there, you know what? God hasn't forsaken his people. He's taken the famine away. I need to go back home. And you know, sometimes in our lives we may get in a spot and we may think, what a mess I'm in. This spot I'm in. And so, you know, it's a good thing to say, okay, now how did I get in this mess? You know, did I come here by the will of God, or was there some decision that I made that really put me in this spot? And so it may be one or the other. You know, when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and in the wilderness was where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights of Satan. So God may have led us into a spot where we would face trials, but we can only seek his face to know what to do from there. So verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. You know, so many times in life, God gets blamed for the problems, doesn't he? So many times. It wasn't God's fault that Naomi ended up in Moab. But verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She wasn't going to leave. And then in verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and what?
Unto her gods.
Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So here we see something that Naomi realized. Listen, at first she's telling him to go back. Verse 8, she told him, go return each to her mother's house. But you know, sometimes when we are hurting so bad ourselves, we really forget the needs of others. But it's coming out right here with Naomi. She realized when Orpah went back, Orpah was not only going back home, but she was going back to the gods, the idols of her people. And so by Naomi urging them to go back at the first, she wasn't really thinking of their spiritual welfare, was she? She was hurting so much herself. And you know that we can find ourselves in the same way. We can find ourselves in so much personal sorrow and hurting that we just kind of block out everyone else's best and we only think of ourselves. And that's really what Naomi did. And finally, she's kind of bringing it out, verse 15, hey, you know, your sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now it's becoming a little test for Ruth. But in verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. It's interesting. She says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. One time, I think it was the first time when we were down to see the walls in Haiti, went on a missions trip. I don't know if it's when we got there or when we left. Probably was when we left. But Brother Wall said, you know, there's one difference between you all, us, our group that went down there. He said, there's one difference between you all and us. You get to go back home. We have to stay. And, it's fun and it's exciting to go on a missions trip and to help the missionaries. But in the back of your mind, it's like, can't lose my passport. Can't lose my visa papers because that's my ticket out of here. You know, but the missionary, they're there to stay. And Ruth here said, "Where you lodge, I will lodge." And then she states in verse 16, "Thy people shall be my people, and what? Thy God, my God." That's in verse 16. "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest will what?
I die,
and there will what? I be buried." That really tells, doesn't it? It really tells where her heart was. Listen, I am placing my trust in God, the true and the living God. Where you die, where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you stay, I will stay. Where you die, I will die. And it really shows there's been a real change in Ruth's heart. And she goes on to say, "The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." The Scholls are in Greenland, and there's been two different missionary families that have gone there to help out in the work, and both have come off the field. And I don't really know the reasons. I'm not trying to condemn those other families. God may just have wanted them there for a short time to encourage the Scholls. I don't know. But I do know that the Scholls have the frame of mind, like, God has called me here to Greenland, and it's like, I'm going to stay until I die. God's called me to these people. And with the others, I don't know all the reasons, but we've watched that happen in Haiti. Brother Wall has had at least two or three, I guess I can kind of think three different families that at one time were staying there or had plans to go and stay there and help out and maybe add to the work. And all three of those families are not there. And so the Walls right now and their health needs, you know, Brother Wall's missionary compound there is, it just lies empty at this point. And so Ruth has the attitude, the hard attitude, listen, I'm not going to change from this. God is leading me to go with you. He is the true God. So verse 18, "When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me what? Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." So Naomi means pleasant, Mara means bitter. When I was growing up, there was a family in the church that had several children, but one of their daughters played the piano, and she just seemed like she always had a smile on her face and was so happy. And fast forward to many years later, she has gone through sorrows, bitterness in her life, and I'm attending the funeral of her dad at church, and the funeral directors dismiss the family first, and they go out. And I will never forget seeing her face. This is the first time I saw her face in many years. And I just saw a very hardened, unhappy face. It wasn't a face of tears and sorrow. You can tell that. I mean, you can tell when somebody's crying. You can just picture that type of face. But this was not tears. This was just a very hardened, bitter face. And it so much reminds me of Naomi. She goes back to her hometown, and she didn't have to say anything. They just said, "Is this Naomi?" They could see it in her face. And she says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Isn't it amazing that Ruth, thinking about this, Naomi, because of her hurts, because of her sorrow, because of the hardness she faced in her life, she had gone from pleasant Naomi to bitter Mara. And isn't it amazing that Ruth still wanted to go home with her? Think about that. If you go back up to, verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Just picture now, you have a mother-in-law that's lost her husband, that's lost her sons, and she's a bitter person. Can you imagine Ruth here saying, I'm going to stick with you? On one hand, wouldn't it have been a relief to just say to her, wow, finally, I can peaceably separate from my mother-in-law. She is so angry inside, so bitter. I know she's faced so much, but she's so angry and so bitter. Is it easy to be around someone who is bitter and angry? No. And then what's really amazing to me is in verse 16, where the last part of the verse, she says, I will go where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Isn't that amazing? Here is a person who is bitter at God, lost her husband, lost her children, and yet here is a daughter-in-law who is saying, your God, I want him as my God. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes I feel this way, and so I imagine you feel the same way, but sometimes when I'm facing a lot of problems, like say my car's broke down, or say that someone goes in for emergency surgery, or some other problem, is it easy to witness at a time like that? Well, in the flesh, we're thinking, well, what are they going to say? If I try to witness to them, won't they say, well, if you serve the true and the living God, why don't you pray? I mean, why did you get this flat tire? You know, why did Brother Reese experience a flat tire on his car last night around Louisville, Kentucky? I mean, he's a missionary. They're headed for Papua New Guinea. Doesn't God care about them? And it wasn't negligence. He had brand new tires put on that car. So is it easy in a situation like that to witness? It's real easy to hold our tongue and think, well, if I was to witness to them, they would say, well, you're going to Papua New Guinea. I mean, you say you're serving the true and the living God, and how could he let you have a flat tire out on the road? But the fact of the matter is we should witness, and the fact of the matter is Ruth did look at the overall picture of her mother-in-law, and you know what? She did recognize the true and the living God. Yes, she knew her mother-in-law was going through sorrow and hard times, and so was Ruth. I mean, it was her father-in-law who died, and it was her husband who died as well. So, but I hope this will encourage us that when we are facing trials and tribulations and we feel like, when we just feel like, well, I can't witness because it seems like right now I'm in a spot of weakness. I'm in a spot of need. And for whatever reason, the Lord hasn't answered my prayer miraculously or even kept me from the flat tires or whatever happening, but it just encourages my heart that, you know what, even in those times, people can see who we are truly serving. And Naomi kind of reminds me of Jonah here in the sense that Jonah didn't care about the Ninevites. He just cared about himself. And in this situation, actually, Naomi really didn't care about anyone but herself because she was hurting so bad. But God still uses her. And so it's the same with us. Even when we're hurting so bad, God can still use us. So let's allow him to. In verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Let's not be so quick to accuse God. She's saying, the Lord hath testified against me. The Lord did not testify against Naomi. That was her viewpoint. But God had nothing against her. I mean, it's her husband's decision to go down into Moab. It wasn't to judge or chastise Naomi by her husband dying. But she's looking at it from this viewpoint. The Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. Don't we realize that the accuser of the brethren, Satan, accuses us before our God day and night? And it's just, you know, it should help us so much to not accuse others. Because you know what? When we start accusing others, whose side are we on anyway? I mean, it's the devil that's accusing the brethren before God. Let's not be a part of his group. Let's pray for the brethren. That's what we should do. So verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Well, we're out of time, but we're going to see in chapter 2, things are going to change. And you know what? We never know what's just around the corner. You remember Achan, when it came to the Battle of Jericho? He took of the things that he was not supposed to. Everything in Jericho, the certain things were dedicated to God, other things were accursed. And so, but Achan saw and he took. And so it resulted in the deaths of some of the Israelite people, and it resulted in his death and his family. But you remember the next battle was the city of Ai. And do you remember what God told the children of Israel before they went to that battle? Take of anything you want in this city freely. So Achan is coveting the silver and gold and clothes, but just around the corner in the very next city, God was going to say, take freely of all that you want. And you think, oh no, Achan? Blessing was at the next city. And so, you know, when we get discouraged, or like Achan, if we get covetous, we just need to trust God, shouldn't we? So Ruth is a book that really shows us what we are. It gets right down to the problems that we face. And it helps us to know that, you know what? When we are hurting so much, let's not feel intimidated. Let's speak for the Lord. Let's still glorify the Lord even when we are hurting, because you know what? There might be a Ruth there that can be reached. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, we know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so, Lord, help us. We know not what each other is facing in so many different areas. But Lord, help us. Help us not to be bitter in spirit. Father, help us not to blame life's hardships upon you, for we know ultimately, all hardship is because sin entered into the world, and it has made life hard. But we thank you that you promised to be with us, and you promised to deliver us from the affliction. So please help us, Lord. It's so easy, Father, for us to especially when we're hurting, to only see our own problems and not really think of others. So please get us refocused, Lord, and help us to praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.